Well, we are here with Beth Seifert. She's our Bible study teacher, and she is taking us through 1 Samuel. It's a wonderful Bible study. You can find all the notes on our Bible Studies tab, along with the podcasts. And we just highly encourage you to use the materials and have your own guided Bible studies. Thanks for joining us, Beth.
Hey, Amy. Let's pick up the text again, and we're going to continue in verses 38 through 52 of chapter 14. And Saul said, "Come here, all you leaders of the people, and know and see how this sin has arisen today. For as the Lord lives who saves Israel, though it be on Jonathan my son, he shall surely die." But there was not a man among all the people who answered him. Then he said to all Israel, "You shall be on one side, and I and Jonathan my son will be on the other." And the people said to Saul, "Do what seems good to you." Therefore Saul said, "O Lord God of Israel, why have you not answered your servant this day? If this guilt is in me or in Jonathan my son, O Lord God of Israel, give Urim. But if this guilt is in your people Israel, give Thummim." And Jonathan and Saul were taken, but the people escaped. Then Saul said, "Cast the lot between me and my son Jonathan." And Jonathan was taken. Then Saul said to Jonathan, "Tell me what you have done." And Jonathan told him, "I tasted a little honey with the tip of the staff that was in my hand. Here I am. I will die." And Saul said, "God do so to me and more also. You shall surely die, Jonathan." Then the people said to Saul, "Shall Jonathan die, who has worked this great salvation in Israel? Far from it. As the Lord lives, there shall not one hair of his head fall to the ground, for he has worked with God this day." So the people ransomed Jonathan so that he did not die. Then Saul went up from pursuing the Philistines, and the Philistines went to their own place. When Saul had taken the kingship over Israel, he fought against all his enemies on every side, against Moab, against the Ammonites, against Edom, against the kings of Zobah, and against the Philistines. Wherever he turned, he routed them, and he did valiantly and struck the Amalekites and delivered Israel out of the hands of those who plundered them. Now the sons of Saul were Jonathan, Ishvi, and Malchishua, and the names of his two daughters were these. The name of the firstborn was Merab, and the name of the younger, Michal. And the name of Saul's wife was Ahinoam, the daughter of Ahimaaz. And the name of the commander of his army was Abner, son of Ner, Saul's uncle. Kish was the father of Saul, and Ner, the father of Abner, was the son of Abiel. There was hard fighting against the Philistines all the days of Saul. And when Saul saw any strong man or any valiant man, he attached him to himself. Okay, so now we see Saul dealing with the awful oath that he made. All the men are watching Saul as he narrows down who broke this oath. The men aren't saying a word to help him hurt Jonathan for breaking an oath that Jonathan didn't even know existed. In our modern-day terminology, they're not going to throw Jonathan under the bus. Saul is concerned that the oath was broken, and thus God is silent toward him right now. He isn't concerned with why it was broken or even who broke it. He even says that if Jonathan is the oath breaker, he'll kill him too. God, however, looks at the heart of both men here. He sees the ridiculous oath made by Saul that shouldn't have been there. Yes, Jonathan broke the oath. But remember, God didn't make the oath. Saul brought God into the oath. And God is now holding Saul accountable for the oath. Saul didn't get what had really happened here. He didn't see that Jonathan relied on God. He didn't see that, as verse 45 says, Jonathan worked with God today. The army recognizes the inappropriateness of taking the life of the man through whom God delivered them from the Philistines. When Saul learns how the oath was broken, he shows no mercy. He's angry, even at his own son. Again, it shows that Saul didn't get it. Saul simply wanted to be right. He still doesn't understand that breaking the oath wasn't the problem. The oath itself was the problem. God is about more than rules and laws. He looks at the heart. Yet Saul seems to think that the only way to fix the situation with God is to kill Jonathan. Saul doesn't really know God. He doesn't even try, much to his own loss. The men of the army rescue Jonathan. They understood God better than Saul did. Again, just because you are a leader and important in the world's eyes does not mean that you know and understand God. The men step in and stop Saul from making this mistake and from killing Jonathan. They remind Saul of what Jonathan did that day, how he rescued Israel with God's help, and Saul relents. He lets his son live. After that, Saul also stops pursuing the Philistines and goes home. He seems to realize that he doesn't have the backing of his troops to continue this fight, at least not now. After all, he prevented them from eating when they might have eaten and thoroughly destroyed the Philistines already. Then he tried to kill the hero of the day. He's lost serious credibility among his men for his poor choices. I doubt many of them would have continued to pursue the Philistines if he'd pushed it. We're told, however, in verse 52 that Saul continued the war with the Philistines for his entire reign. It was a very bitter war. Saul needed not just men for his army to continue this war, but he needed strong and brave men. So whenever he found a strong and brave man, he pressed that man into his service and continued to pursue the war against the Philistines. This whole section, again, it just shows Saul's inability to lead, while highlighting God's ability to use whoever is willing to save his people. God can do amazing things with just one man. In our world, we can get very discouraged by what is happening all around us. In those moments, we have to remember we're never going to create a utopia of our own making here on earth. It isn't even possible. We are called to be the light that God wants us to be and to share what is of eternal value, our hope in salvation by Jesus Christ, our Savior. This passage reminds me that God will show me where He wants me. God does raise up men and women to be that light for Him. I find myself today realizing that I need to keep my focus on God and what He wants me to do. I need, and I think we all need, to stop getting caught up in the world and the things of this world. After all, we're aliens here, and this is only temporary. Finally, as I read this passage today and I see the king that Saul was over God's people, I can't help but have my thoughts drawn to the king that would be born in a stable among the animals. That perfect king who told all of us to stop making oaths, to let our yes be yes and our no be no in Matthew 5. In almost the same breath, just a few verses earlier, that king also let us know that the heart was what he was really concerned with when he told us that when we even look with lust, we have already committed adultery in our hearts. And that, ladies, is what it all comes down to, all of it. It's a heart matter. Out of the overflow of Saul's heart, we see where his treasure was. He did everything he could to be right here. He did everything he could to refuse to admit that he was the cause of the problem. He did all that he could to make someone else to blame for his heart problem. So, ladies, it's time for a heart check today. What does the overflow of your heart show? Are you, like Saul, doing everything that you can to cover yourself? Are you putting the blame for your own heart issue on someone or everyone else? Or does the overflow of your heart show that you are becoming more and more like God? Which characterizes you more? A person who gives grace or a person who makes accusations? Saul, he didn't get it. His eyes were not open to the wisdom of God, and he never really wanted them to be either. He never sought God. He sought his own agenda. He wanted God's stuff. He didn't want God. What about you? Do you truly seek God, or are you seeking your own agenda? Remember, God will lead you in ways that will stretch your faith, that will cause you fear, and that will even be painful to go through. But do you trust Him to do all of this for His glory and ultimately for what is the best for you, even if it doesn't seem good or pleasant? Saul didn't trust God, and the result is heartbreaking because it could have been so different for Saul. Don't let your pride get in the way of your relationship with God. Remember who is really in control today, and submit your will to Him today and every day.
Well, thank you, Beth. And Beth's study guides, as well as the 10-minute podcasts of these presentations, are all available in our archives under the Bible Studies tab of our website, naomistable.com. Nancy and I will be back with more on this in just a moment.